Please pray with me. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of all of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O God. Amen. In the huddle, they draw up the play. As the ref whistles to signal the end of timeout, coach asks, "Everybody know what you're doing?" A chorus of voices responds affirmatively. The team returns to the court, the ball is inbounded, and nobody does anything the coach just said. As they hustle back on defense, the coach's voice carries across the gym, "What did we just talk about?" A father is working on a project and needs a set of labels. He sends his child to retrieve them. They're in the desk in the bedroom, third drawer down, right side. The kid leaves and then hollers from the bedroom, "Wait, where did you say they were again?" A monthly meeting breaks up with everyone having individual assignments to get done before the next one. But you blink and suddenly you're getting an Outlook reminder that that next meeting is tonight. Follow through can be a real challenge for humans. We can all be on exactly the same page, but then walk out of the huddle or the room or the building, and all of that common understanding just evaporates. I wonder what Jesus might say to us tonight. Addison just read for us, "And whenever you fast, do not look somber like the hypocrites, for they mark their faces to show others that they are fasting." In just a few moments, I will invite you all to come forward and let me smear ashes on you as a way of signifying that we are fasting. I can imagine Jesus' voice over the sound of squeaky sneakers, "What did we just talk about?" What a peculiar observance Ash Wednesday is. Jesus says, "Don't fast in a way that draws attention to your fasting." And we say, "Oh, okay, so like smear ashes on our forehead so everyone can see how faithful we are?" Ash Wednesday is a time for us to reflect on our mortality, which is probably why the sanctuary isn't full tonight. It's not a terribly pleasant thing to do. Plus, who needs another reminder of our mortality? The world provides plenty. There are wars, illness and disease, climate change, and simply those ever-present natural signs of aging. You don't need to come here to be reminded that life does not last forever. But the reminder here is markedly different from those outside these doors. The purpose here is not to create fear or offer some inspirational message to seize the day because you've only got so many of them and tomorrow isn't guaranteed. No, here we reflect on mortality in a particular way. The message is not, "Oh yeah, eventually you're going to die." It's, "Yeah, eventually you're going to die. But you will die in the continued care of the one who created us from mere dust." As we impose ashes, we say some version of, "You came from dust, and to dust you will return." This is a reference to Genesis 2:7. "Then the Lord God formed man from the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and the man became a living being." From dust, God created the man. One day we will die and our bodies will decay and we will return to dust. It's pretty grim. But the claim is not as disconcerting as it sounds, because we know that to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. Barbara Brown Taylor says that Ash Wednesday is like attending your own funeral. It is sobering, yes, but ultimately it is hopeful joyful even. When our bodies return to dust, we will find ourselves safe in God's presence. Now, at first, it might seem strange that Ash Wednesday lands on Valentine's Day. It's kind of an odd mashup. But the more we think about, maybe it is actually perfect. Ashes to ashes, dust to dust, yet held by the love of our Creator. Of course, there's more to acknowledging that we are finite than simply accepting that we will not live forever. It's also recognizing that we are limited in our abilities and our control of what goes on in our lives. We are at the mercy of God and at the mercy of the created order God set in motion. Acknowledging our finitude means acknowledging that in this life, more is out of our control than in our control. More is out of our hands than in them. And frankly, this is less pleasant than the fact that we won't live forever. We loathe not being in control. More unpleasant still is a final facet of facing our mortality. We fall so short of who God designed us to be. Our sin is the most obvious reminder that God is God and we are very much not. We know the right thing and we fail to do it. When we don't know the right thing, we're too often content to throw up our hands and try not to think about it too hard. We hurt one another and ourselves. We disobey God's instructions. Which leads us back to these ashes. It seems like we're doing exactly the thing Jesus told us not to do. Rather than concealing our religious expression, these ashes make it very clear that we are religious people doing religious things here. You will leave this place, and if you're like my family, hit a drive-thru on the way home, and what was done in secret will be obvious to those who see us. Episcopal priest Dr. Marilyn McCord Adams offers an interpretation of the ashes that resolves some of this tension. She says we might consider the placement of the ashes on our head not as hypocritical or contradictory, but rather as ironic. Listen to her words. Lent grapples with the fact that human denial mechanisms are very strong. Most of the time, we need to think, and we need others to think, that we are decent persons. The Ash Wednesday liturgy stage manages us into public exposure. We are not what we seem. Hearing and deliberately disobeying the gospel by receiving ashes is a way of coming out of the closet to ourselves and to others as dust to dust returning, as people who are not pure in heart, who do not love God with all we have, who still equivocate between merely human aspirations and kingdom goals. In other words, the ashes are a way of telling on ourselves, a way of admitting that even our best intentions are frequently executed clumsily. The ashes testify not just that one day we will return to dust, but that here, now, today, we are sinners falling far short of God's call. So yes, Jesus, we did just talk about this. In fact, we've talked about a lot of things. You've taught us the way of righteousness, but we come up short over and over again. So we mark ourselves tonight with ashes, not to show how religious we are, but to confess just how finite we are, just how fragile we are, just how dependent we are, just how lost we are, apart from the goodness Jesus imparts to us, the salvation he gives to us, and the grace that covers all our finitude, shortcomings, and broken places. Thanks be to God. Amen.